Good morning. In the last days, I was thinking to the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the desert. And I was wondering, why did that happen? Because, for example, they said that he was hungry. That is the Son of God, who has given food with just four loaves of bread and three fishes to 5,000 of people. He could make his own food there and eat it. Why he left himself being so hungry? Why? And the subtitle I have here, Moment of Proof of His Total Deity in a Full and Holy Human Body. That was the conclusion. But let us go through these together, these temptations together, to discover, to examine what had happened. And I will first have an introduction, then first temptation, second temptation, third temptation, and conclusion. I would like to first read the Luke 4, chapter 1, from chapter 1, where there is a narrative of this temptation. But throughout the presentation, I will use the narrative from Matthew. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So, before starting his ministry, the Lord took the baptism of John the Baptist. During this event, there was the Holy Spirit who came like a dove, and God who spoke to attest that this is my Son. So God attested that before people there. Then, filled with the Holy Spirit, he went to the Judean desert to fast and pray for 40 days and 40 nights. In the history of the Bible, Moses and Elijah have done that before. They had fasted for 40 days and praying. So the Lord Jesus did not go to fast, pray, and be tempted by presumption or by a mere display to demonstrate his power in resisting to temptation. No. But it was evidently that as second Adam, it might be seen that his holiness was such that he could not be seduced from allegiance to God as did the first Adam and Eve when they were subjected to temptation. After these 40 days and nights of fasting and praying, the Lord was very hungry. And it is then that Satan tempted him three times. The narrative of these temptations is reported briefly in Mark in the two verses that are mentioned on by our sister Stephanie in the late book that you have. And at length in Matthew chapter 4, 1 to 11, and Luke chapter 4, 1 to 13. In Luke, the second temptation in Matthew, in addition, a few details are added, probably to accommodate Theophilus' understanding. Theophilus is the one to whom Luke had written his gospel. The Gospel of John doesn't report specifically this temptation, but it mentions in John 14, verse 30, that I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. And this is mentioned also elsewhere. As well, in Hebrew chapter 2, 18, reminds us about the Lord Jesus Christ that he himself has suffered. Being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. The first temptation, in Matthew 4, verse 3, I have taken all my citation from the New King James. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. By saying, if you are the Son of God, Satan is using the argument of doubt about the divine nature of the Lord, even if this Lord's position has been confirmed by God and the Holy Spirit days earlier at the Lord's baptism by John the Baptist. Satan knows that the Son of God can do that, can change stone into bread. He knows that. And the Lord is able to do that. But should he obey this to Satan to satisfy his physical needs? That is the question. The ultimate objective of Satan's temptation here is to bring the Lord to sin by obedience to Satan, in order to satisfy his physical needs, such as getting bread to calm hungry in this case. This raises also the doubt about God's provision for his son with regard to his needs. God himself could give the food to his son. The weakness exploited in this situation by Satan relates to hunger, impatience, and proof by the Lord to be the Son of God. And we have many needs, physical needs ourselves. Should we satisfy our needs by obeying to Satan? It is legitimate to satisfy our physical needs, but this must be done in an appropriate manner, rather than in obedience to Satan, whose ultimate objectives are against God. The Bible indicates in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust and the punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. And in Romans 8, from verse 1 to 30, it is spoken about flesh things. And in Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 21, it is said also about these things. The Lord Jesus Christ rejects this temptation, inviting him to convert stones into bread by affirming, citing Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, that the satisfaction of the physical needs, hereby hungry, is not enough to give life, but the word of God is. According to some scholars, the term word was not used in the context of giving to it the meaning of divine scriptures, but the meaning of things or acts, because the citation related to the situation where God gave manna to his people. But even if we take any meanings of the word, term word, because it is said from the mouth, so it is, in my mind, it is the word of God. But even the act is also part, the word of God is part of the act. This response of the Lord suggests that the thing or act of God gives eternal life compared to the bread that will give just a temporary relief of satisfaction to a physical need. The main objective in our lives is to be with God rather than to the satisfaction of our physical needs that will last just for a short period of time. Eternal life is more important than satisfaction of a need for a short period of time. The second temptation. In Matthew 4, chapter verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angel charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Satan led the Lord to the roof of the temple. Josephus, a writer on this era, says that from this roof, located at 700 feet high, one could scarcely look down without dizziness. So someone could not jump from that place without being hurt. Satan is using the same argument of doubt about the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, "If you are the Son of God." But this time, he adds to his request to jump from the roof of the temple a verse from the Bible, because the Lord used the verse to reject his first temptation. And Psalm 91, verses 11 to 12, states that, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." These original verses emphasize the trust in God, but Satan twists it by omitting the part "to keep you in all your ways" to justify his testing of the Lord. Here, the Satan's temptation concerns the pride of life. You jump from a high place without being hurt. That is, you will be proud about that for achievement. The emotional need of security, and it raises the doubt not only about the divinity of the Lord, but also the protection of God. Can God protect the Lord Jesus Christ against the injuries by the stones on the ground if he jumps? For certain, doing this would be a proof that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For a normal human being, knowing that I will prove that he will jump and stay, I did that. But the Lord didn't do that. The weakness exploited by Satan in such situation relate to the human being need of pride, security, and need to test God. But the Lord answers Satan with a verse from Deuteronomy 6, verse 16, forbidding to tempt God, recalling the experience of Massa, where the Israelites put God to test, angrily demanding that Moses produce water where there was none, as mentioned in Exodus 17, verse 2 to 7. In the Lord's response, the main objective of the human being is to follow the God's plan in the first place, rather than anything else, such as personal pride, by putting ourselves in a less secure situation. There was the fire last days in Los Angeles. Can you go through that fire just to prove that you are Christian? So I was saying that the Lord Jesus Christ's response is based on a scripture that forbids the act that Satan requests by putting himself in a dangerous situation, just by pride, or based on a scripture that forbids the act of Satan request. Oh, sorry, I am confused myself. Right. It is true that God aids those of his people who are placed by him in trial or danger. But it is not true that the promise was meant to extend to those who presumptuously provoke him and trifle with the promised help. The third temptation, Matthew 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Satan is crossing the line here. He is not staying behind false things. No, he said, you have to worship me. He is clearly asked that he is the ruler of this world, as the Lord Jesus Christ has indicated it in John 12, 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. He was speaking about the devil. And he said the same thing in John 14, verse 30, and 16, verse 11. Here, the Satan's temptation concerns the desire of power, easy solution to problems, and the need to search his equality with God. The term world in these verses has the meaning of the land of Canaan, the land of Judah, and the lands in their immediate vicinity. The promise of Satan to the Lord Jesus Christ, if he worship him, is to give him all the glory of the world, meaning all the riches, splendor, towns, cities, mountains, etc., of this beautiful land. The needs on which the temptation is based relate to the psychological self-feeling, namely self-importance and self-achievement. You are the king. You are the most important of this world. But the Lord answers Satan with an attitude against any compromission with any wrong behavior. Deuteronomy 6:13, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oath in his name. You shall not go after all the gods of the people who are all around you. In the Lord's response, the main objective of the human being is to follow the God's direction in the first place rather than following any other person. He shows that he can worship God only. In 2 Kings 17, from verse 35, you can read this. With whom Israel, whom related to Israel, the Lord has made a covenant and charged them, saying, you shall not fear all the gods, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord, who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched arm, him you shall fear, him you shall worship, and to him you shall offer sacrifice. This morning, we have looked at our Bible showing, indicating that we have been saved by God. Ourselves also, this scripture is related to us. We have been saved by God, God only, and to him we should give our praises. What can we conclude with these three temptations? The three temptations of Satan on the Lord have addressed the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, what you see, and the lust of pride of life. So flesh, the needs, the physical needs we can have, the eyes, what we can see, and pride, what we can feel. The Lord did not go to the desert to be tempted by self-presumption, as we have said, nor just to display his power in resisting temptation. But it was evidently that it might be seen that his holiness was such that he could not be reduced from allegiance to God. This was an example for us to resist to temptation and the devil plan. We need to be careful in our lives and stay on our guards, because Satan is very genius. Satan often takes advantage of our circumstances and wants to tempt us. The poor, the hungry, and the naked, he often tempts to repine and complain and to be dishonest in order to supply their necessities. Certain temptations are often the strongest immediately after we have been remarkably favored. When you have some advantages, when you have something good, then Satan comes in your life. For example, Jesus had just been called the Son of God at his baptism, and Satan took this opportunity to try him. So Satan often attempts to fill us with pride and vain self-conceit when we have been favored with any peace of mind or any new view of God, and endeavors to urge us to do something which may bring us low and lead us to the sin. His temptations are plausible. They often seem to be only urging us to do what is good and proper. they seem even to urge us to promote the glory of God and to honor Him, but it is false. We are not to think, therefore, that because a thing may seem to be good in itself, that therefore it is to be done. Some of the most powerful temptations of Satan occur when he seems to be urging us to do what shall be falsely for the glory of God. We are to meet the temptation of Satan, as the Savior did, with the plain and positive declaration of Scripture. We are to inquire whether the thing is commanded and whether, therefore, it is right to do it, and not trust to our own feelings or even our wishes in the matter. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit helps us and guides us using the armor of God mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 18, that are the truth, the justice, the zeal to announce the gospel, the faith, the salvation, prayers, and scriptures. But we have to know scriptures. We have to read the Bible to know it very well, to be resistant to Satan. This is the thought I had for us this morning. Thank you for your attention.